I'd like to begin by thanking my co-authors, Dr. Roger Leonard and Carla M. Finger. This study was conducted as a component of my PhD research. The fall armyworm, Spadoptera frigiperta, is in the order Lepidoptera and the family Noctuidae. It is a migratory pest of cotton, and it lacks a diapause mechanism. This lack of a diapause mechanism does not allow it to overwinter in cold areas of the northern United States. Therefore, it migrates in from areas such as southern Florida, the Caribbean islands, southern Texas, Mexico, and Central America. Compared to heliothines, the fall armyworm requires increased rates of insecticides in order to control it, and its dispersal lower within the plant canopy makes control of the fall armyworm difficult even at these increased rates. In this, we have an insecticide droplet deposition. Fall armyworm is generally found in the lower part of the section marked as B or in the section marked as C. The problems lie in the fact that in the center on the droplet deposition sheets, you can see that the droplets barely even make it down to the section marked as C. And this is where we have problems controlling the fall armyworm with insecticides. Therefore, it's necessary to find additional technologies to control this sporadic yet damaging secondary lepidopteran pest. There are currently several cotton technologies available. In 1996, Monsanto released Bolgard cotton, which produces a Cry1AC BT toxin. Later in 2003, Monsanto released Bolgard 2, which was the first stack gene technology with Cry1AC and Cry2AB. The very next year, Diagra Sciences released wide strike technology, stacking Cry1AC with Cry1F. And currently under production by Syngenta Crop Protection is VipCot technology, which has VIP3A and Cry1AB, and may be released as soon as this year. Cry1AC and Bolgard has proven to be effective against the tobacco budworm, the pink bollworm in Arizona, and the European corn borer in the southeast. With the addition of Cry2AB and Bolgard 2, improved control of bollworm was seen, as well as additional control of secondary lepidopteran pests. Wide strike technology is Cry1AC stacked with Cry1F. It has been shown to provide control equal to that of Bolgard 2 against many of the target pests. Cry1F seems to be comparable to the addition of Cry2AB and Bolgard 2, as well as Cry1F improving control over secondary lepidopteran pests. VipCot technology by Syngenta Crop Protection is a novel combination of BT proteins. The primary toxin in it is VIP3A, which has a mode of action which differs from those currently available in the aforementioned varieties. VIP3A is classified as an exotoxin, while the other cry proteins in other varieties are endotoxins. The addition of Cry1AB with VIP3A in VipCot lines provides added control of target pests. Currently, there has been a fair amount of research performed on these technologies evaluated against fall armyworm, but to date, there's not been a great deal of this data published, and this has necessitated us to look at better research into detailing fall armyworm damage to these transgenic lines. The objective of this study was to evaluate available BT technologies against fall armyworm larvae in lab tests. The cotton traits we evaluated were Bolgard, a Stoneville 5599, Stoneville 6611, a Bolgard 2 variety, and Phytogen 375, a wide strike variety, as well as an advanced event of VipCot cotton line. And in addition, we also looked at a conventional non-BT cotton line. These studies were performed at the LSU Ag Center's Macon Ridge Research Station near Winnsboro, Louisiana. The trials were conducted using fresh plant material harvested directly from field plots on the station. The fall armyworm colony that was used was field collected from cotton in the fall of 2005 and supplemented from corn in the summer of 2006. And it has been maintained in the laboratory at the Macon Ridge Station since that time. Once the larvae are collected from the field, they're allowed to progress until they're adults. And then they are placed into these buckets, which are covered with a cloth. This cloth serves as an ovipositional material for the adults. And once they have laid eggs on this cloth, those sheets are harvested and placed into plastic bags, where they're allowed to remain until larval eclosion. Once the larvae emerge from the eggs, they're shaken into these 8-ounce diet cups filled with a meretic diet. Once they reach the late L2 to early L3 larval stage, they are moved 1 to 2 at a time into 1-ounce diet cups also filled with a meretic diet. This is done to prevent cannibalism that is commonly seen in fall armyworm, which becomes extremely prevalent in the later L2 stage and increases greatly as they progress through their life cycle. For these studies, after that time, these larvae were weighed individually to ensure that they were in the 30 to 45 milligram weight range, which designates them as being in the third larval instar. For this, we evaluated terminal leaves, squares or flower buds, and bowls. These plant structures were all freshly harvested from the field directly prior to use in these studies. For the purpose of today's presentation, I will discuss the data on the squares only. Once the squares were harvested from the field, they were taken back to the lab where they were washed and debracted and placed 2 to 3 at a time into the specimen cup you see here. Also placed into the cup was a 1 centimeter squared piece of wetted cloth to provide adequate moisture, as well as a single third instar fall armyworm. I'd like to take a moment to set up my first data slide. On the y-axis is percent mortality, and on the x-axis is the number of days after initial infestation of fall armyworm on squares. For the cumulative mortality of fall armyworm exposed to conventional non-BT cotton, percent mortality ranged from approximately 5% mortality at 2 days after infestation to slightly greater than 40% mortality at 12 days after infestation. All subsequent slides will be in this manner. Cumulative mortality of fall armyworm exposed to Bollgaard cotton expressing Cry1AC ranged from 0% mortality at 2 days after infestation to approximately 65% mortality at 12 days after infestation. Fall armyworms exposed to Bollgaard 2 cotton ranged from approximately 5% mortality at 2 days to roughly 90% by 12 days, although it should be noted that approximately 87% mortality was observed after just 7 days. Fall armyworm exposed to wide stripe cotton showed 0% mortality after 2 days, and 100% mortality was reached at 7 days. Fall armyworm exposed to Vipcot cotton ranged from 5% mortality at 2 days to 100% mortality at 12 days, though 98% mortality was observed after just 6 days. In summary, conventional non-BT cotton showed 42% mortality after 12 days. In comparison, Bollgaard, exhibiting Cry1AC, showed 65% mortality after 12 days. Bollgaard 2 cotton, stacking Cry1AC and Cry1F, showed 88% mortality at 12 days. Wide-stripe technology, stacking Cry1AC and Cry1F, showed 100% mortality at 7 days after infestation. And Vipcot technology with VIP3A and Cry1AB showed 100% mortality at 12 days after infestation. It should be noted that supplemental control on some of these traits may be required due to what we've seen so far in these studies. I'd like to conclude by thanking the student workers at the Macon Ridge Research Station for their help in maintaining this colony, as well as monitoring these assays. Also, I would like to thank Dow AgroSciences, Syngenta Crop Protection, and Monsanto for providing the cottonseed used in these studies. And finally, the Louisiana Cotton Producers Association, LSU Ag Center, and Cotton Incorporated for providing partial funding of these studies. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes. The question was, would I expect Bolgard 2, Wide Strike, and Vipcot to line up similarly in the field? Yes, at this time, this is just an initial study. As you can see, I mean, we did not look to see if any of these significantly differed. This is just an initial look. Right now, they do seem to line up pretty close, but there could be some differences after we look at it further. But right now, they do line up similarly, yes. Yes, sir.
The surviving larvae in the Bolgard treatment, is their growth similar to non-BP cotton?
The question was, did the surviving larvae in the Bolgard trial, was their development equal to the conventional non-BT cotton? Yes, it was very similar. The surviving larvae in the Bolgard did not seem to be particularly inhibited.
What about the other transgenes? I think in Bolgard 2, you did have 10 or 12% survival.
Yes, they did show slower growth, the survivors in the Bolgard 2 to that point, and any that, as they progressed through their life cycle, most all that were exposed to transgenic genes did exhibit a slowed life cycle. No, we ended that assay at 12 days as a result of the majority of the lines had already reached 100% mortality or right there about, and there was definite delayed life cycle development. Yes, sir.
Did you pre-test all your plants for expression?
No, we did not, but these were from seed provided directly from these companies that we utilized.
Any additional questions?
Yes, sir.
Could you replace the fruiting structures during the 12-day period? Or?
Yes, fruiting structures were replaced approximately every 2 days due to every 2 days regardless or earlier depending on whether desiccation was observed or if the larvae had already completely consumed the structures available to them.
Thank you.